Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin with Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture, and we have on the show with us today Dr. Granville Sewell, Professor of Mathematics at the University of Texas, El Paso. Dr. Sewell earned his PhD from Purdue University in Mathematics in 1972, and he subsequently taught and been employed by a number of different university entities, such as the Universidad Simon Bolivar in Caracas, Venezuela, the Oak Ridge National Laboratory, Purdue University, the University of Texas Center for High Performance Computing, and Texas A&M, and of course he's currently at the University of Texas, El Paso. Dr. Sewell, we'd like to talk to you today a little bit about your own personal views on Darwinian evolution, how you came to be a Darwin skeptic. So can you tell our listeners what got you interested in the debate over evolution?
I've been interested in this for a very long time, over 30 years, been reading and writing on the topic. It was obvious to me 30 years ago that the vast majority of the scientific world were on the wrong track on an extremely important issue, so why would anyone not be interested in the topic?
Sounds good to me. Now, can you summarize, why are you personally skeptical of neo-Darwinian evolution?
Okay, I'm going to give you a long answer on this one. For me, the issue's always been extremely simple. If you believe in Darwinism, or for that matter, any other purely mechanical theory of evolution, you basically believe that physics explains all of chemistry, which is probably true, actually. Chemistry explains all of biology, and biology completely explains the human mind. Thus, physics completely explains the human mind and all it does. In my 2000 Mathematical Intelligencer article, A Mathematician's View of Evolution, consisted of two parts. In the first part, I discussed irreducible complexity, compared the evolution of life to evolution of software, my software in particular. In the short second part, I argued that the idea that the basic forces of physics could rearrange the basic particles of physics into libraries full of encyclopedias, science texts and novels, airplanes, automobiles, and computers connected to keyboards, CRTs, and later laser printers seems to violate the laws of probability and the second law of thermodynamics in a spectacular way. Then, after some published replies to my article, I was given the opportunity to reply to the critics in another Mathematical Intelligencer article in fall of 2001. And I said, this is kind of a long answer, but I'm going to quote a couple of paragraphs from that because you asked why I'm skeptical of neo-Darwinian evolution, and basically the answer is extremely simple. Here, I'm going to quote a couple of paragraphs. The beginning says, critics of my opinion piece, A Mathematician's View of Evolution, have focused primarily on my first point, which deals with the question of whether or not major evolutionary improvements can be built up through many minor improvements. It is clear to me that they cannot, but this question is the traditional front on which most battles over Darwinism had been fought since 1859, and I did not imagine that my arguments would constitute the last word on this topic. I consider that the main point of my article was the second one. Mathematicians are trained to value simplicity. When we have a simple, clear proof of a theorem and a long, complicated counterargument full of hotly debated and unverifiable points, we accept the simple proof even before we find the errors in the complicated argument. That is why I prefer not to extend here the long-standing debate over the first point, but to dwell further on the much simpler and clearer second point of my article, which is that the increase in order observed on Earth violates the laws of probability and the second law of thermodynamics in a spectacular fashion. Okay, that's the end of the quote from that article. So then in this article, I went on to outline this simple, clear argument, which is now summarized in Chapter 5 of my new book, and also in basically repeated the argument in the appendix to my 2005 John Wiley book on the numerical solution of ordinary and partial differential equations, and also now in a nice video on YouTube. If you search Granville Sewell on YouTube, you'll find the 10-minute video which summarizes the simple, clear argument. My colleagues in biology don't seem to be impressed by such a simple, abstract argument. They understandably don't believe you can say anything important about evolution without looking at the details of biology and microbiology. But we mathematicians do this sort of thing all the time. That is, we study complicated problems which seem to require very large amount of attention to detail to solve, and we look for another perspective from which things are much clearer and simpler, and we usually find it.
Well, why is a mathematician's view of evolution important, or at least no less important than that, say, of a biologist?
I wouldn't argue that it's more important, but I think we do have something to contribute, and that's the larger view. Maybe biologists are just too close to the details sometimes to see how absurd the whole idea of evolution through entirely natural causes is from a broader viewpoint.
What do you think of some of the criticisms of neo-Darwinian evolution coming from some of your fellow mathematicians, such as David Berlinsky?
I admire the writings of Bill Dembski, David Berlinsky. They're first class. Offhand, I can't think of other mathematicians who are outspoken as they are, but I know many personally who feel the same way. They're just not as outspoken.
You may have already sort of answered this question, Dr. Sewell, but do you think that there are many other mathematicians who are skeptical of Darwinism?
Sure, I know many of them personally. When Michael Behe came to give a talk at UTEP in 1997, I told him I thought he'd find more support for his ideas in mathematics, physics, and engineering departments than in his own field, and that's no doubt true. In fact, I think that people in the more mathematical sciences, might be fair to say, sort of led the way before the biologists were kind of late in coming to the criticisms of Darwinism. I think it dates back to the 60s, the MIT conference, and you know, mathematicians, a few of them, had been outspoken opponents of Darwinism for a long time before biologists started following us.
Well, that's interesting, Dr. Sewell, and it does not surprise me that there are other mathematicians who share your views. It's certainly something that I've heard many times over the years, that there are many mathematicians who doubt modern evolutionary biology. So I'd like to ask you also, have you experienced any negative repercussions to your career or personal life as a result of your scientific descent from Darwinism?
No, I really haven't. I don't think I've ever been punished or suffered academically for my views at all on this topic. Of course, I've been insulted by many people. If you Google my name on the internet, you'll find all sorts of insults, but no one from my department or, as far as I know, anybody from my university has ever insulted me, and I certainly don't believe I've ever been punished academically. I realize a lot of people have in other fields, and particularly in biology. I think maybe this is because most other mathematicians, as I've said already, are either sympathetic to my point of view or at least can understand why some of us reject Darwinism. Even if they don't go so far as to advocate intelligent design, they can at least see the problems with Darwinism. So I think there's a much less hostile environment in mathematics, and the same thing would be true in engineering and computer science and physics, I think. Or another possible explanation is just that people say, well, his views on this may be weird, but they don't affect his mathematics research. There's a biologist who expressed those same views, doesn't have this to fall back on. So that may be the explanation for why there's less persecution, virtually none in my case.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I'd like to close this podcast with what advice would you give to students about how to get through school if they happen to doubt the evolutionary consensus?
Just be patient. Things are changing. They've changed more in the last 10 years than I would have ever imagined. First 20 years I was reading and writing about this subject, I thought I was about the only person in the scientific world that held the views that I did. Turns out there were a lot of us, and we just didn't have a way to communicate until more recently, and things are changing rapidly, so just be patient.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show with us today, Dr. Sewell, and talking to us about the reasons why you are a doubter of neo-Darwinism. I'm Casey Luskin with the ID of the Future podcast. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.